Right now it is time to bring in Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys of Frick and Frack. You can find them on the web at tqag.com, and you can find them here most every Tuesday, especially except when Greg promises he won't oversleep and forget, and the next week you call, he oversleeps and forgets. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Greg, what happened? You promised you'd set the alarm.
I know. I did set the alarm, but I must have turned it off when it went off, and I just fell back asleep. I mean, okay.
It's the story of my life.
It is. Speaking of technology, I do have a question for you.
All right.
Every time you call me anyway, on Skype, instead of connecting, I hear the little boop boop that shows that it was disconnected. So when I look on Skype, I have to click join call. So it doesn't somehow, I don't know if it's a setting or what. So
I'll look at it. It might be the fact that at the same time, because it's ringing the other one, maybe it just waits. I don't know. I'll look into see if there's any settings on this side where I could work with it. But we don't know what Skype is. We don't know. It is what it is.
We don't even know who's listening.
We don't even know who runs the damn company. It's part of Microsoft now. So
right.
We'll look into it. Okay.
It's in the matrix.
There you go. That's it. It's one of those unexplainable things in life. All right. Well, let's take a look. This shocked me when I saw this, but I guess it shouldn't shock me. Christie's reports an income of $7.1 billion this last year.
Yeah.
Now, Tim, speaking to that, is that like in the top two or three or the top? I mean, that seems like to beat that, you really have to be some power. $7.1 billion.
It's amazing. And yes, that's probably right there. Sotheby's is probably right near or just under. I mean, the two were really, really doing great sales this past year. And basically, in talking to a lot of our friends in the auction business, if you didn't have your best year ever, you're doing something wrong, because there was such a jump in not only the number of people that were participating, but the more people that you bring in and have participate, then that helps drive up prices. But it's also the strategy of the type of material that you are also selling. So we're in a very good place in the marketplace, is that there's great stuff out there, and for certain items there's a lot of desirability and a lot of action in certain markets, and that doesn't go all across the board. Unfortunately, it's not for every area, but it's where you focus. And I think that auction houses, instead of focusing on the traditional, oh, we always have to do a sale in this, well, if that's a downwards trending market, well, what can we do to change that, or in some way remarket it or rebrand it, or just do combined lots? So I think auction houses are responding faster to the market trends and things that are happening within the marketplace.
And that's $7.1 billion. I mean, it takes a lot. I must take a ton of money to run the company. So I don't want people to think that $7.1 billion is clear, free and clear. It's not. But
no,
I think.
But part of that goes to the consigners as well. Yeah. So, I mean, Christie's only makes a percentage of that. So it's not that full amount. But that's what they conducted in business and, in their auctions.
It truly is amazing, and it shows that the pandemic had virtually no effect this past year.
Well, it did have an effect. It helped rise.
Well, I mean, that's right. That's negative. That's right. It didn't have a negative effect.
Absolutely. And I think that's what everybody was thinking, is that this was going to be such a doom and gloom. The thing is that there was no real supply chain issue with the auction items. They're already there. So, and they're unique items, and it's something that if you did want, the only thing that was holding it back was maybe if there were some delays in shipping or something like that. But other than that, it wasn't like a supply chain issue. It was, wow, okay, let's get something that's more one of a kind, or a piece that is unique that I could either add to a collection or gift to someone who has a collection.
You know, the other thing to think about this past year is, for most part, auction houses are way up as far as what their annual income has been and the success that they've had. But one of the things that's also happened this year, a lot of auction houses have broken records with some of the stuff
certain
that
items.
They have yep. sold, certain items. And, it's just one of the, let's just say it's probably for the company, it's a pleasant side effect of what's happened over the past year. But there have been some amazing records broken this year in a lot of the, not just the upper tier auction houses, but the mid-level and lower-level auction houses. If you look what has sold in even just decorative arts, some of these things have just broken all kinds of records. And it's a good thing for the market. It makes the bottom line look good. But how long will that sustain? Because, you know, as we start coming out of this, how is this going to, you know, what's going to affect the market next year? It'll be interesting next year to follow the trend and see how it's if it's maintaining, if it's going up, or and part of it has to do, I think, also with the media worldwide, like the web and all of the social media things. Because, for example, we watched last night, and I'm sure Tim's going to talk about this in a second, but we watched
Can you say that again?
Oh, Siri. I don't know. Siri? I didn't even invite her to join this conversation. I don't know what the hell she thinks she's doing here.
We
watched The Lost Leonardo about the Salvatore Mundi painting that originally sold, I think, for like $1,100, and it finally ended up selling after three or four sales for $400 million before the buyer's premium,
right,
$450 million. So, and I think a lot of people have followed that, and I think it's piqued their interest in online auction and not being afraid to bid on certain assets at a high level. So it's certainly been a good year. I will say that.
Well, Tim, what are your thoughts? I think now that it's on a roll, I mean, people are spending money.
I agree, and I think that they are buying with confidence. And again, it goes to that supply chain issue, is that it's readily available. And I think that's what people are going to be looking at, is how easy it is and the accessibility to more of these items in the marketplace. Because prior to having it so accessible in an app or on your phone, is you would have to drive around the country or the world and fly around the world and try to attend all of these different auctions. And that would be extremely cost prohibitive. So if instead of spending that money for airfare and hotels and all your travel, is you have it in your hand and the convenience of wherever you are, you can view 10, 15 different auctions within the same day. And you can take a look at everything, and it can be curated to your particular collecting interests. So you set it up to be notified when certain things have certain keywords, and that way you don't even, it even lessens the time that you have to search. It shows you only the things that you're interested in. So it's, I think that the more that this grows with technology and the ease of not only purchasing but also viewing and finding these things, more and more people will come to this. I mean, look at Carvana, look at all these other apps for the things. The big thing, if you listen to the ads, they say what they're selling is ease and that this is simple. And that's where that all comes in. And I think that that will really just continue as time goes on. And I think that we'll get more and more people into the fray that will be bidding, and they're going to be upgrading their collections and then also looking to sell their collections.
All right. Well, by the way, this, of course, is Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, as they're getting set for Christmas and the holiday season. So an interesting article. And this is, I get, to me, I look for the bizarre and the different. An artist who was born without arms and legs and painted in the Victorian area, Sarah Biffin. Last year, her auction price, I guess, was set at something like $3,400. Well, even that has changed. Well, she's had paintings now bid on for £9,000, which is about $12,000. See, now this is where obviously personal taste comes in. I look at the paintings, and yes, they're amazing, painted by somebody who painted basically with a brush in their mouth. But have you heard of this artist or anything like that?
No, I have not.
I have not. I just Googled it, and that they're
Miss Biffin, miniature painter.
yeah, Sarah Biffin. And that is, oh, and she's done a number of self-portraits, and she was born in 1784. And so she was a painter in England. No, I have not.
Well, on top of that, think of the time period, being a woman, being an artist, right. And also not having arms or legs. I mean, that's... Holy smoke. I mean, to even be recognized for something like being a good artist with those three things there at that time, I can't even imagine what the odds are that she would have been successful. But,
part of what made her successful is that she also had a lot of sponsorship and guidance. It's as in 1908, George Douglas, the Earl of Morton, wanted to see if Biffin could really paint unaided. And once he was convinced, he sponsored her to receive lessons from the Royal Academy of Arts. So, she went there. The Society of Arts awarded her a medal in 1821 for her historical miniature of the Royal Academy. And so her paintings have been recognized for her her talent, obviously. So there's a lot goes into that. And was this an article that you read, Marshall, just saying that her values are going up, or that there's more of a
They've gone up. Last year, getting about $3,000 to $3,600 a painting, and this year, like I said, £9,000, which of course I think equates to $12,000 this year.
Right.
So I mean, $3,000. I mean, we're not talking substantial, but still, $3,000 to $12,000.
That's a jump. Yes. Right. Well, so if you had some of these, just thinking, oh, okay, and I think that's what we're seeing in different markets, and not all markets, but in certain artists, I think people are finding more interest in the historical background, and also, there's a limited quantity that is out there for these items. So she has an interesting story and a very interesting background. Apparently, also Charles Dickens mentions her in Nicholas Nickleby and in a couple of other things that he has written. So she's, one of those.
She's got provenance.
She does. She's got historical referencing. That's fabulous.
Now, this has probably been broken, but I remember we talked about this back in the summertime. And I think, I don't think it's been topped yet, but the Legend of Zelda game sold for $870,000. It was in a package, unsealed, and at the time, it's the largest, most expensive video game ever sold, $870,000. That was on my list to talk about because that happened in July of this year.
Yeah, July 11th, actually. That has not been topped.
Now, and here's what goes. The story goes on to say, once again, because I saved this because I thought it was an interesting story. It includes a 20% buyer's fee. It topped the $660,000 of a Super Mario Brothers game.
Right.
But you buy, obviously, these things go right into a hermetically sealed container and hopefully in another 5 years have doubled or tripled in price.
Right. It'll be a million or 1.2. Yes. And this particular game was also graded. So it is sealed and it has been graded. And I do believe that it was graded at like a 9.0. So it was probably hardly ever played with. And whoever found it, purchased it, or whoever had it when they were going to sell it, I'm sure that the grading and the sealing of these types of collectibles really make a difference. But I always think, well, okay, this is, so what do? Put a stack of these around your, you know, around the rim of on a shelf?
No, this, to me, this is like buying a Bitcoin. You buy it, you put it away, and 3 years, you say, okay, let me see what this is worth.
Yeah. And see, because you can't do anything with it. Except, yeah. I mean, you could display it. It's in a case. That's fine. But that's about it. Because you can't play it. You don't have a game. But that would be the million-dollar idea, is to have something that you could – but you can't take the thing. You can't take it out of there. So, yeah, I don't know.
And starting off the new year. Go on.
Go ahead.
No, go on.
Well, the whole thing about the video games is, I've never been a video game fan, and it just mystifies me how these things, you know, we joke about it all the time with Pokemon. Well, you know, Pokemon is having a major resurgence right now, especially in the auction industry, because there are Pokemon things that are breaking their own records. So it's one area that I am not really familiar with, because I don't know these games. I don't know the only one that I know, and it's because it's Tim's favorite game, is Ms. Pac-Man. And that's it.
Ms. Pac-Man, yeah. I will say that Super Mario holds the record for the most valuable video game cartridge. There was a 36-year-old sealed copy of the Super Mario Brothers game that sold for $2 million on a collectible site called Rally, breaking the record for the most expensive video game ever sold. And that was in August of this year, August of 2021. So it's that Zelda has the, you know, all things seem to point to that's the next, you know, $1 million.
It was 36 years old. 36 years old. It was sold probably. Yeah, sold probably by its original owner, who's still living in his mother's basement.
Could be. And since we're talking about money, finally, January 5th through 7th in the sunny Orlando area, there's a currency signature auction going on by Heritage Auctions. When they say signature auction, is the signature because the person who signed the bills and the notes, is that the signature they're looking for?
Well, no. So it could be documents and letters. If they're doing currency and probably also historic signatures that are either the people who are the signatories on some of the currency, or usually presidents or something else. So it's they usually like to sell those alongside of some of the currencies.
And they're kind of like, I guess they also sell auction notes and things like that, which
correct.
Yeah, which can be pretty impressive. I had my grandmother's sister, her husband many years ago, worked at Standard Oil, all right? And when he passed away, he left basically a suitcase full of stocks. She passed away, and her family after that had a suitcase worth of stocks that were worth just an unbelievable amount of money. Unbelievable amount of money. Not that they, you know, redeemable. I'm talking about collectors. Collectors. And some redeemed in. It's, you know, I guess it's a thing. You know, people will pay anything for something that they really want that hits an interest they have.
Oh, well, yeah. Speaking of heritage and coins and money, they have an auction coming up in January that is should be interesting to watch. It's all of the lots in there are coins and currency that have errors on them. So, but they ended up in circulation at some point. So that's going to be interesting to see how that does, because the number of lots that they have. It's close to 600 lots of just currency that has errors of printing, you know, like mint errors on them. Everything from a misshaped coin to an underweight coin to the image is struck wrong. Or so that's always fun, because you know there was a time when we talked about this where one of these coins came up for auction and it sold for a tremendous amount of money. So this will be interesting to have close to 600 lots of misstruck currency to see what the sale does, because right now the bidding's already started and things are selling or already at some, you know, pretty good levels. So it's going to be interesting to see. And this sale starts on January the 3rd, and it should be fun to follow.
So now you guys are all set and settled in for Christmas. Do you have your New Year's plans now set up?
Well, it's kind of not up to us right now. It's going to be up to what happens with our favorite subject this past year and a half.
That's right. You know, because so, this whole COVID thing, I'm beginning to think that it's going to boil down to be exactly like the flu, and we're going to be living with COVID the rest of our lives, and people that want to get shots are going to get shots, and people that don't get shots don't get shots. I really, at this point, I shrug, and that's what I think of this, because obviously this thing doesn't want to die, and it doesn't want to kill any more people, because if it does, it's not going to be able to, you know, keep reinventing itself. So,
yeah, and it won't be newsworthy.
You know, my meteorologist came up with a great idea. Instead of telling us how many people get it each day, report it like the common cold. You know, here's how many hospitalizations we have, and here's how many deaths we have. That's all we need to know, because I think we're going to be living with this for the rest of our lives. And
yeah, I think so. Well, we came up with a very novel idea because, you know, Tim and I decided that we didn't want to spend a second Christmas without family. So we decided that we're going to lemonade out of lemons. So we purchased the instant test kit.
Okay.
And before everybody can come in the house, they get an instant test. And while they're waiting for the results at 15 minutes, they'll be in a socially distanced area where they can have as much champagne as they can pound down in 15 minutes.
And the great thing about that is if the test comes out positive, they've got enough champagne in them, they won't give a damn.
Yeah, exactly. The response from the people, it's only 10 people, so it's right. Not as though it's a small tremendous number, amount. Thought it was a great idea, and I have to thank Tim for that, because I was a little hesitant to send out an email like that, but everybody thought it was a great idea.
Good. So. Well, and also in our invite, we just said that please be sure to make sure that you are boosted and have your vaccines. And, you know, it's a small number of people, but we just said we just want to ensure, you know, out of an abundance of caution, make sure that everyone is, feeling, because it's both mentally and physically, because mentally you're just wondering, oh my gosh, I'm with some people, is this, and you get this, it's very, you know, it's difficult, but we're no hugging, no kissing, stay a little distant and we'll enjoy the holidays. So my brother is in town from Ohio, and my sister and her husband are driving down tomorrow from North Carolina. So we'll have them and just a few of our friends that we know also mask up and, you know, don't go to big crowds and do things
like that. It's basically our bubble. It's our bubble, basically, still.
I'm the one that would be the intruder, but I'm traveling all over, but I'm in small groups. I make sure that if we eat outside or we take it back to our hotel room. I mean, you know, we're very vigilant with the hand sanitizer and the masks and just making sure that we are doing I want to make sure because I don't want to bring it home to Greg or to my mom and dad.
All right. Well, I want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas. Jill and I wish you a Merry Christmas. Have an enjoyable time, and we'll speak to you next week.
Hey, okay. Right back at you, and Merry Christmas. 35th. Yeah. Radio station.
35
That's
years.
Outstanding.
That comes up on
years.
Yeah, December 23rd, Arthur, will be on the air for 35 years on the AM.
When did you start? Were you 12 years old?
Well, I've been on the air. This is my 51st year, so I remember I worked at a radio station in Kingston, New York, and they were celebrating 35 years in your ears. And I remember working back there and saying, Jesus, that's a long time. Well, guess
right.
what?
Right.
It's not. I've been doing it for 51.
it's funny what age does. Gives you context and perspective.
Merry Christmas,
hey,
guys.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
Take care.
Thank you.
Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, with the praise this here on Robin Hood Radio.